Mark chapter 11, Luke 17, and Matthew 18. Mark 11, Luke 17, and Matthew chapter 18. We're going to talk tonight about divine love and forgiveness. The last time we were together, we talked about divine love and forgiveness, part 1. Tonight is part 2, amen. We saw the last time we were together how God forgives us and forgets when we confess our sins, amen. And He instructs us from His Word that we too should forgive and forget when others sin against us and ask for forgiveness. We must forgive when others sin against us and ask for forgiveness. That's key and crucial to what you're going to be seeing from the Word tonight, what we're going to be ministering from the Word of God tonight. Last time we were together, we saw the importance of husbands and wives in particular, walking in love and forgiveness towards one another. By the way, those scriptures I gave you, we're going to begin with Mark chapter 11, as far as I know at this point. Peter said, I showed you from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Actually, I didn't show you anything. The Holy Spirit showed you. Peter said, married couples are to dwell together with knowledge that their prayers may not be hindered. Amen? Husbands and wives are probably more guilty than most when it comes to and disrespect and contempt for one another in Christianity. Amen? I told you, I've seen husbands do things to their wives in front of a pastor, and vice versa. Wives do things, and I had one woman in the church that I pastored in Oklahoma, man, she's right in front of me. She threatened to beat his brains in, then she turned around and threatened to beat my brains in. She said, I'm coming and I'm going to punch your brains in. Hallelujah. So it's not just men. Amen. She literally told me that. She'd smack him around. She told me my turn was next. It's born again people. Churchgoers. Amen. Peter said, that'll hinder your prayers. For sure. Amen. Paul told the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3 that we are to wake up on a daily basis and make the decision to put on the outer garments of mercy, kindness, humbleness, meekness, patience, forbearance, and forgiveness. Amen. That's in Colossians chapter 3. I read it to you. Amen. And then another gentleman said, and when this was shared with me, I told him, Brother Phil Driscoll, he said, and I told him, I said, that's such a wonderful way of putting this that I'm going to share with you. I said, with your permission, if you don't mind, I'm going to use that. And every time I do, I'll give you credit for it. Phil Driscoll said this. He said, holding unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart is like drinking poison yourself and expecting someone else to die. Bingo. I thought that was brilliant. Amen. I wish I had said that. Holding unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart is like drinking poison yourself and really expecting someone else to die. Bitterness and unforgiveness are a luxury we can no longer afford as believers. Amen. It blocks the spot where the power of God flows out. Amen. And last time we were together, we also saw the importance of forgiving yourself where you could have done things better. Self-unforgiveness is still unforgiveness. If you're born again and you are refusing to forgive yourself for anything, for any reason, you are harboring ill will in your heart towards the body of Christ, and you don't even want to go there. Amen? You're not doing God any favors beating yourself up for the wrong things you did in the past. God commands us to forgive, and He commands us to forgive ourselves. Amen? So we need to keep in mind that self-unforgiveness is still unforgiveness. Amen? And it's unforgiveness against the body of Christ if you're born again and you're refusing to forgive yourself. And the Father will not long tolerate you abusing yourself or anyone else. Amen? So receive a word of correction. If you've been beaten up on yourself, if you've been being hard on yourself because you did things in ignorance, because you didn't have knowledge back then, and if you had the knowledge that you have today, you would have done it differently, well, let it go. The Holy Spirit of God is commanding you, let it go and move forward. Amen? Just do things better this time around. Amen? Tonight, divine love and forgiveness, we're going to be talking about handling conflict within the body of Christ. Jesus teaches us to forgive but he does not require that we be doormats for abusive, immature believers. He requires that we forgive, but he doesn't require us to be doormats for abusive, immature believers. Amen. When other believers sin against us, we have recourse given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus never instructed us in the Bible to not defend ourselves against wrongdoers. He never said in Scripture that we cannot defend ourselves against wrongdoers. He instructed us to never harbor unforgiveness, bitterness, or ill will in our hearts towards wrongdoers when they do us wrong. But he did not say we do not have recourse. He did not say we cannot defend ourselves. We're going to see that as we go. Amen? He doesn't instruct us to be punching bags for the devil. Amen? That's why I stand up so boldly and I tell people, get out of here. Amen? I should have done it the time those people came in here and just were passing all that junk out and telling all those lies. I should have just given them the boot because I had the authority to do it. I had the authority to rebuke them openly for their hypocrisy, but I was new here. We're all new to one another. I was more concerned with you than I was with them. Amen? But the next time it happened, as you saw just recently, out you go. If you're going to do that, you're just going to get out. That's all there is to it. We have the authority to do that, and that's not walking in love. Somebody said, Pastor, that's not walking in love to throw somebody out for interrupting your service. I said, sure it is. I loved every minute of it. It is love because it's out of consideration for them that you not allow them to live in that kind of sin. And you point out to them, that's wrong. And the Bible says if you don't judge yourself for doing things like that, illegal, immoral, and unscriptural things, God's going to judge you. We don't want to see them judged by the laws of sowing and reaping. We don't want to see them die prematurely. We don't want to see them die accidentally. We don't want to see accident, incident, and injury come into their lives and take them out of this earth prematurely. Amen? So we tell them the truth in love. And sometimes love is firm, as we'll see here tonight. Amen? I want you to go to Mark chapter 11. If you really love people, you will not allow them to continue in a way that you know from the Scriptures ultimately going to bring judgment into their lives. You tell them straight up. I also want you to know, I had thorough communication with that man who came in here and did that two Sundays ago. I completely and thoroughly instructed him from the Word of God where he was off course, how he was off course, why he was off course, and what he must do according to the Word of God to get back on course. And I gave him the opportunity to come back here at any time and repent and ask forgiveness of this congregation. And I told him what he does. He's welcome to come back. I just want you to know that I did deal with him according to the Word of God. Amen. Now, this might come as a revelation or a surprise to some, but Jesus taught two kinds of forgiveness, not just one. I'll say it again. Jesus taught two kinds of forgiveness, not just one. Look right here in Mark chapter 11. We'll look at the first kind, beginning in verse 26. Jesus said in Mark 11, 25, he said, "And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. Don't harbor ill will in your heart. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Verse 26, "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses." Now here, Jesus is talking about when people sin against us unintentionally. You might make a note of that in your Bible. Take your pen, if you write in your Bible, put in the column right next to those two verses of Scripture, the word unintentionally. Jesus is talking about when people sin against us unintentionally. And you'll see that more clearly as we go. When someone says or does something that offends us or hurts us, but they didn't mean to do it, we are to freely forgive them and let the matter drop. If they didn't mean to do it, if they just said or did something without thinking it through, they did it unintentionally, that's a sin of omission. They overlooked how their words or their actions might hurt you. If they did it unintentionally, we are to just absolutely release it and just let it go, like roll like water off of a duck's back. Amen? If they had thought it through, they would have acted differently. And when that happens, I'm going to say it again at the risk of being redundant. When that happens, when somebody hurts us, harms us, offends us, unintentionally, We are to absolutely just let it go. That's the first kind of forgiveness Jesus taught. Amen? Enough said about that. Now let's move on to the second kind, and that's in Luke chapter 17, if you look at that with me, please. The second kind of forgiveness. The first kind of forgiveness Jesus taught us about is when people harm us unintentionally. They didn't mean to, but they did. We are to absolutely forgive them. Somebody said to me one time, how can you get that out of those two verses of Scripture that he's only talking about when people harm you unintentionally? And I said, come over here to Luke 17 with me and I'll show you. And I took him where I'm taking you. Luke chapter 17, we'll pick it up in verse 3. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. When Jesus says take heed, he's saying, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say to you. Don't miss this. Amen? If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Now, hold on a minute. We just read in Mark chapter 11, if somebody trespasses, forgive him. Nothing about rebuking him or her over there in Mark chapter 11. But here he says, if your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, see, look at that. If and only if he repents, forgive or restore him is what that word actually is. If he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, same sin seven times in a day, did it on purpose every time, but seven times in a day he turns again and repents, you shall forgive him. So we can know that Jesus had to be talking in Mark chapter 11 about somebody offending you, trespassing against you unintentionally, because here he's saying when they trespass against you intentionally, you are to rebuke them. They're two different teachings, or he's contradicting himself. He's not contradicting himself. He never did. Logic tells us, in Scripture shows us, that there are two kinds of forgiveness that Jesus taught his disciples. When somebody sins against us unintentionally, let it go. When somebody sins against us on purpose, rebuke them, Jesus said. And only if they repent for their wrongdoing are we to restore them. Now, we're to harbor no ill will in our heart when we rebuke them. We're to do it in the spirit of love. But we're to tell them nonetheless, hold on, you just found my boundaries and you crossed them, you violated me, and you're going to need to repent if you want to continue the relationship. You are not going to be allowed to treat me abusively. Jesus said that, not me. Rebuke them when they sin against you. He's not contradicting himself. He's talking about unintentional sin and intentional sin. And they're both to be handled differently. Amen? When people sin against us unintentionally, let the matter drop. But when they lift their hand against us intentionally to cause us harm or shame, we are to rebuke them according to the Word of God in the spirit of love for their benefit. Amen? Love won't let a matter like that go. He's talking here primarily about believers offending believers intentionally. He's talking to disciples about disciples. And it's irresponsible of us, and it's unloving of us to allow people to remain in that type of maturity where they go around believers intentionally offending and bringing harm to other believers. It's not love to just let them go and not require that they change, not require that they come up higher, and not require of them as family members to develop into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. It's not love to just let them go. It's not love for a parent to do that with a child. If you love your child, Solomon said, you'll spank them every time they need a spanking. That's what love would do. Amen? And love will rebuke a fellow believer if they do something wrong. If they're the kind of person they think they can just run around, running roughshod over anybody they want and thinking that nobody's going to correct them because, after all, you're supposed to walk in love toward me and love wouldn't correct me. That's not what Jesus taught. You following me? Hallelujah. It's scriptural. It's biblical to correct people. And it's for their benefit. If they refuse to repent, we're not obligated to restore them to a position of fellowship until they do. And that is to encourage them to grow up. Amen? And stop submitting themselves to the devil who has taken them captive against their free human will. Well, hallelujah. People need to learn how to walk in love and to realize that there's consequences when they refuse to walk in love. The Bible, Paul's letters in particular, is full of exhortation to believers to rebuke wrongdoers for deliberate wrongdoing, exhorting them to maturity and to come up high. I'm going to read a couple of verses. You might want to just write these references down because you're going to need them sometime. Some of you will need them sooner than others. 1 Corinthians 5, I'll just read them to you real quick, 12 and 13. Paul said, "What have I to do to judge those who are outside of the body? We judge those who are within the body. I've had people tell me when they violated me, came against me immorally, illegally, and unscripturally, and I correct them for it in the spirit of love." And I'm talking about this kind of correction I'm talking about tonight needs to be done in love. Amen? We can't harbor ill will, bitterness, and unforgiveness in our hearts towards our offenders even when we're correcting them. Are you with me? I've had to correct people at times in similar situations to what occurred here two Sundays ago. And have that individual turn around and say, "You're judging me. You're judging me." I say, "I am judging you." 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13 says, we are to judge within the body whether somebody's behavior is acceptable, unacceptable, illegal, or legal, scriptural or unscriptural. Paul said right here in 1 Corinthians 12, we are to judge those who are within the body. Those who are outside of the body, God judges. Therefore, talking to believers about believers, he says, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That person who goes around stomping on other people and refuses to repent when they're called on it. Paul said, put them right out of your midst. Particularly if it's sexual sin. Put them out of your midst until they learn how to live right. Amen? 1 Timothy chapter 5. Paul told young Timothy, Pastor Timothy, he had a little outbreak of sin in his congregation. And Paul told him, them that sin, rebuke them. Right in front of everyone. Rebuke them before all, that others may learn to fear. Or to not live in the same type of sin. That others may understand there's consequences in the body of Christ for wrong behavior. This isn't a bless me club. I mean, it is, but it isn't. Amen? Some people want all, believers, they want all of the benefits and none of the responsibility. They don't want to behave. They want to behave any way that they want. They want to live any way they want. They want to do all the harm they want to do to other people and think they can use the name of Jesus like a magic wand and still live in the blessings of God. Well, you can't. Amen? Come on now. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:2. I'm talking about the scripturalness of rebuking somebody when they do something wrong to you. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves now. Watch yourselves in this area. He's saying, I know you're not going to like this, but I'm telling you to do it regardless. If your brother trespasses against you, rebuke him and bring him to the place of repentance for his benefit. Amen? 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Reprove. Rebuke. He's telling Pastor Timothy, reprove. That's light rebuke. If necessary, bring a strong rebuke and exhort with all long suffering in doctrine. Titus 1, 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke those who sin sharply, that they may grow sound in the faith. Sometimes it's necessary when people sin against us to rebuke them. Amen? Not just forgive them and just let it go. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. When other believers live that way around you, don't just let it go. He said, get after them. Get after them with the Word of God and encourage them to come up higher. Or they're going to have to be judged for their wrong behavior. So it is love to correct people when they're wrong. It's not love to not correct them because I don't want conflict. I don't want to get into strife. It's not strife when somebody wrongs us and we correct them. Jesus said, take care, take heed, make sure that you do this now. Don't just think about yourselves, what's easier for you. Don't take the path of least resistance. If they need to be rebuked, rebuke them. If they need to be reproved, reprove them. If they need correction, correct them. Pastor, I didn't come out to hear this tonight. Hallelujah. Yes, you did. You just didn't know it. Amen? Let me read to you one more. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. This is not one of my most popular messages. Amen? This won't necessarily make the greatest hits list, but you'll be thankful for this information one day when you need it. Amen? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. Have you forgotten the exhortation Paul said to the Hebrews, which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening or chastening of the Lord, however you would say it, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Well, when the Lord chastens you, when the Lord rebukes you, he does it through another human being. And Paul said, don't faint when that happens. Accept the admonition as an opportunity to mature in the faith, grow up and move on. Learn from your mistakes, don't repeat them, and move on. But God doesn't always necessarily correct us directly. He'll do it indirectly through other believers, through family members, through spiritual leaders. And Paul said, when it comes, don't resist it. Well, if Paul teaches it as scriptural to receive correction from the Lord, rebuke of the Lord, then it must be scriptural for us to correct one another and to rebuke one another in love when we see someone getting off into trouble by the way they're mistreating us or other individuals. I feel all alone up here tonight. Hallelujah. Do I have a friend in here tonight? Hallelujah. Sometimes it's necessary to correct another believer in love. Jesus never said, just let him. That's not what he meant when he said, turn the other cheek. You wouldn't raise your children that way. And that's no way to raise other believers as mentors in the faith. Amen? Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you intentionally, rebuke them. And only if they repent are we obligated to restore them to a position of fellowship. Amen? So, well, Jesus said in Revelation 3:19, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent when you're rebuked. Amen? So we have seen here clearly from these two verses of Scripture and more that there's two kinds of forgiveness. When somebody sins against us unintentionally, let it go. When somebody sins against us intentionally, Jesus said, rebuke them and don't let them get away with it. That would be the path of least resistance for you. That would be the easiest thing for you, but not the best thing for them. Amen? Let them know. Let them know. Rebuke them respectfully and in love. Stand right up to them in love and let them know when you're ready to fix this, I'm ready to restore you. But until then, the restoration of broken trust is up to them and not up to you. Amen? It's hopefully to shame them to where they'll stop such behaviors and grow up in the things of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35 says, you know, before I read that to you, let me just say this to you. Probably 80% of the body of Christ suffers from chronic babyhood because nobody ever corrects them. Because if they do, they're going to shout, you're judging me! Tell them I am judging you. According to 1 Corinthians 5, 12, and 13, I'm judging your sin is sin, and for your own sake, I'm telling you, it's wrong. And if you're going to do it, you're not going to be comfortable around me doing it. Because I love you enough to tell you. I'm not going to sit around and tolerate that, you doing that to me, watching you doing it to others, knowing judgment's going to come if you don't change. I'm going to tell you, hey, the road's out ahead of you. The bridge is out ahead of you. Judgment's coming. Payday doesn't come every Thursday with God, but it comes. It always comes. And you aren't going to like it when it comes. So why don't you just repent right now, change the way that you're living, and be blessed instead of being judged. I tell you, I've been judged and I've been blessed. And blessed is better. I've been judged by the Spirit of God. And I've been blessed. And blessed is better. Amen? Hallelujah. It's to convict their conscience of sin, to bring them to repentance and bring them to maturity. Otherwise, they're just going to live in shame all their lives. Probably everybody in this room, everybody listening to the sound of my voice by recording, you're thinking about somebody right now that you should have rebuked. That maybe you should be rebuking and reproving now, and you haven't been doing it. because you've been thinking, well, that wouldn't be love, or I'd be judging them. It would be love, and you would be judging them, and it is scriptural to judge. We hear that all the time. Jesus said that we're not supposed to judge one another. I'd like to know where Jesus said that, because that's not in the Bible. But I'll tell you, in John 7:34, Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. He said we ought to judge, particularly within the body. Paul said God will judge the people of the world. We leave them be, we believe them to come into the kingdom. Once they're in the kingdom, we ought to judge whether they're living immorally or unscripturally. And if they're not living morally and they're not living scripturally, we are to tell them. The same way that you wouldn't if you were babysitting your little brother, your little sister, and mom and dad left you with that child, you would discipline that child, you would care for that child in the same way that your parents taught you to care for that child, the same way that you were raised with discipline. Amen. You don't let a child get away with everything. You don't raise children that way. So we don't allow children within the body of Christ, baby immature believers, to get away with, hallelujah. You know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. It's not actually bouncing back at me tonight, but it's not going in like it normally does. Hallelujah. But I know the Lord's given me this word. I'm going to stay with it. It's not healthy spiritually, physically, to allow believers to run rampant and uncontrolled in our midst and be afraid to judge them and to correct them, to bring a word of correction to them. Amen? That's why I said about 80% of the body of Christ suffers from chronic babyhood, because the pastor's afraid to correct, other believers are afraid to correct, that Jesus said we're not supposed to judge people. Lie has been out there, I don't know, probably for centuries. Where in the Bible did Jesus say we aren't supposed to judge one another? I just gave you scripture in 1 Corinthians 5:12 and 13 and John 7:34, where the Holy Spirit says within the body we are to judge. If somebody's doing something wrong, stand up and just flat tell them for their own benefit. Amen? Hallelujah. Just keep in mind, when you're having to hold somebody's feet to the fire, when they sin against you or you see them sin against somebody else intentionally, you are to do it in love. We are to do it in love. Amen? Love refuses to hold ill will or bitterness in its heart, even during this type of disciplinary process. Not exactly a jumping and shouting message, is it? But a very necessary message. I'm telling you, the body of Christ continues. Now, it's been getting better. But the body of Christ continues. You know yourself. Most of the Christian people that you know suffer from chronic babyhood. They never grow up into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. Amen? They're running around. They don't seek the will of... They don't pay tithes. Most Christians don't pay tithes. Most Christians don't pay tithes. They just don't bother paying tithes. They see it's in the Word, but you're not going to tell them to do it. They don't walk in love. Amen? They don't endeavor to keep the sin out of their lives at all costs. And those of us who know better have a responsibility to bring a word of correction when the Holy Spirit puts us in position to do so, and not use the weak, unscriptural cop-out. Jesus said we're not supposed to judge. That is not even in the Bible. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. And to judge righteous judgment is to judge according to the precious, holy, written word of God. We have to judge people as to whether their lives are in line with the word or out of line with the word. And if they're out of line with the word, I'm not saying we're supposed to be hard and firm-fisted, you know, tyrants. I'm just kind of talking to you by the Spirit of God here tonight. It's time that believers worldwide start caring and loving enough one another to not back off having to be the one to bring the word of correction when somebody's life is out of whack and out of order, and you know they're going to get judged if they keep going that way, but you don't want to be the one to tell them. Well, maybe God's put you in position to be the one to tell them. God doesn't always tell us to do things we want to do. Amen? And everything God tells us to do isn't always easy. It is love to judge someone's sin is sin. It is judged to put them before ourselves and correct them even when we maybe don't want to be the ones to have to do that. Are you hearing what I'm saying tonight? I'm talking to you out of my spirit. I'm talking to you out of my spirit. I want to give you real quick over to Matthew chapter 18. Hallelujah. Keep on being sweet to them, but hold their feet to the fire. Keep on being sweet, but hold their feet to the fire and demand that they repent to you. If they wrong you, don't let them get by with it. It's not good for you, not good for them. Amen? Hallelujah. Are you there in Matthew chapter 18? Let's just go through three steps real quick to handling. You just get these in your notes. We have this now on recording as of tonight. You're going to need this information in the future, some of you. Amen? Some of you already know it, some of you don't. But the Holy Spirit showed me to go over this information with you tonight before moving on to our next minute message, Divine Love and Divine Benefits. Amen? Father, you help me here tonight. Seke peruke. Se peronomo kosediki paroto. Seke perete segi peredishte. For I have called you to love, says the Spirit of God. I have called you to a love ministry. For my word says that you are all given the ministry of reconciliation. I've called you all as ambassadors of reconciliation. I've called you all as ambassadors of love. And have I not told you in my word? Have I not told you? Say, perenge siki peroto sagamparede siki peredishte. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One new commandment give I unto you. And by this one commandment will all men know that you are my disciples. That you have love one for another. And love will correct. And love will reprove. And love will rebuke. Love will correct. Love will rebuke. And love will reprove when necessary, says the Spirit of God. So bereke si ki perodomo e ki peredeste. Asoge e kem beredisto ke perando e franamo ke sendekiste. So accept your responsibility, says the Spirit of God in my spirit. Accept the responsibility to reprove and to rebuke and to instruct in righteousness. Saperonde siki berogodo sendekiste. For that is what love would do, says the Spirit of Christ. Love will not run from correction. Love will not run soke perede sigi peroto sedekiste from having to be the corrector. Semeno sigi perede shiki peredeshto. Sambaro te sigi pendo ki peredeshte. Love will stand and love will say, that's rebellion. And if you want to continue a relationship with me, and if you want to continue a relationship with the Almighty, you'll want to repent of that immediately. Soberando seke perende, seke e kishando, e perando seke peredeste. Perfect love, says the Spirit of God, will cast out fear. Perfect love will cast down the fear of having to correct another. And perfect love will step out in the realm of faith. Perfect love will step from the natural into the spiritual, from the natural into the supernatural, and bring the word of correction for the sake of the brethren, says the Spirit of God. Oh God, we give you praise. Three things that we need to do to handle severe sin against the body. Look over here in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. We're just going to go through it quickly. Anybody has any questions later, you can come. You can talk to me about it. We're not going to go through it in detail. Hallelujah. We're not going to go through it in detail. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Sam peduke seki peredeshte. A hard word and a heavy word to many, says the Spirit of God. A hard word and a heavy word to many, says the Spirit of God. But to those who desire to walk in the Spirit, to those who desire to walk in love, the Spirit of God would say to you tonight, never again resist correcting in love another member of the body of Christ when I put you in position to do so. For to do so is to rebel against my word. And to rebel against my word is to rebel against me. Sige intendo, sige peredeste, a hard word and a heavy word for some, but a loving word of reproof to you, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Sige pietoma, e che peregeste ti capre, agam baradeso, che peredeste ti chimano chesete, afrano che perende. Oh, just press into the Spirit of God with me. Hallelujah. Segi men agesa toga baro dosha pege. Hamanu koseriki peredesendikiste. Afrepegete. Love will take a stand. Love will take a stand for the Word of God. Samano siki peredeste. Iki perondo. For have I not said in my word, if you will judge yourselves, you'll not have to be judged. Oh, brene ke men agesa toga baredesendikimbre. So tell them, says the Spirit of love. Tell them, if you'll judge yourself for that, if you'll repent for that, you'll not have to be judged. Behold the goodness and the severity of God, the Bible says. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. For if they will not judge themselves, I'll have to allow them to be judged, says the Spirit of God. And I would prefer they repent. And you would prefer that they would repent. So stand up, says the Spirit of God. Stand up firmly and boldly when the Holy Spirit of God behooves you and say, no, stop, there, now. We won't go another step further together until you make that right. Until you make that right. Until you make that right. For I love you. I love you. And I'll not stand by idly and watched you be judged unnecessarily because I was afraid to tell you. If you don't turn back, the bridge is out. Listen to the gravel on the side of the road. Tell them you're about to go into a ditch. Tell them you're about to be judged if you don't learn to judge yourself. Do you hear that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 18. 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, we're going to go through very quickly now. We're going to close this out. I'm just going to give you three steps to church discipline. If your brother shall trespass against thee, look it, run the other way and don't say anything because he might beat you over the head if you do. It says, if your brother trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Stand right up. That's right out of Luke 17. He said, rebuke him. If he shall hear thee, you've gained your brother. Meaning if they repent. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If there's somebody who was party to it or witnessed it, you go back to them with a witness. And if he shall neglect to hear you and the witnesses, tell it unto the church. That's a reference to church leadership. And if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. And verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Right here, there's three steps in this passage to church discipline. Amen? Notice Jesus said right here in verse 15, he said, if thy brother or sister shall trespass against thee, this is not how we deal with people outside the body. I want to make that clear again before we move on. He said, your brother or sister, these are steps for dealing with trespasses within the body. Amen? We're talking about stubborn, unrepentant believers as we go through these three steps quickly. Number one, attempt to settle your personal differences with the party yourself. Go to them alone. That's what I'm trying to say. Go to them alone. Go to them alone. Look them right in the eye. Tell them what the problem is. Jesus said in verse 15, if they trespass against you, go and tell them their fault between you and him alone. And if you can bring them to the place of repentance, you've gained your brother. Amen? Hallelujah. You see that? It's interesting that Moses said, I'm just going to read this verse of Scripture and not have you turn back there, although some of you will get over there real quick, I'm sure, Leviticus 19. Moses said, by confronting a wrongdoer, a fellow believer, it will keep you from letting hatred come into your heart. If you confront someone for wronging you, there's a supernatural law that goes into effect. It will keep you from harboring ill will, unforgiveness, and bitterness in your heart. If you don't go to them, ill will, bitterness, and unforgiveness is going to build up on the inside of you. Leviticus 19:17, Moses said, "Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke him." He's saying, in order to not allow hatred to build up in your heart for an offending brother or sister, in any wise, in any way that's possible, rebuke them. And do not suffer sin upon them. Moses said in this one verse, everything I just said to you prophetically by the Spirit of God standing up here tonight. He said, in essence, if you want to keep hatred out of your heart, unforgiveness and bitterness and ill will out of your heart towards an offending party, confront them and rebuke them. And in doing so, you will not allow them to continue in their sin and you'll be sparing them judgment. Does that make sense? You go to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, and you look at that sometime, and the Holy Spirit will show you that one verse of Scripture is loaded. Moses said, by rebuking the wrongdoer, you're encouraging them to not continue in their sin, and that's only a good thing, and that's only a godly thing. Amen? And if you refuse to do it, it's not love. You're not walking in love. Amen? Woo! I've had people fight me on this. They want to come, want to tell me all about it. And I say, did you go to them? Nope. I say, well, you're skipping step one and you're skipping step two. Because the Bible says you go to them first. And if they don't receive you, then you go and you get witnesses and you go back. If they don't receive you, then you come back to the pastor. What are you doing coming to the pastor first when Jesus said, go to the offending party first? Well, I don't want to judge him. Well, what do you want me to do? Judge him for you? I will if you'll go through step one and two and we have to go back. I'll go through the judgment process with you, but you need to confront them first. Amen. Then step number two, if the offender refuses to repent, when possible, bring two or three witnesses who are aware of the way you've been sinned against or who are aware of the way that this person chronically repeats the same thing against other members of the body. Jesus said that in verse 16. If he'll not hear you alone, take with you two or three more witnesses, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Jesus taught this. I could take you through the Scriptures and show you. Paul taught it in 2 Corinthians 13:1. Moses taught it in Deuteronomy 17 and Deuteronomy chapter 19. You go with witnesses. Amen? And if after you go to them alone, they don't receive you, well, I mean, after you go with witnesses, they still don't receive you, you take step number three. Take the stubborn and the unforgiving believer before church leadership or go to church leadership about them. Amen? Explain your grievances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know that this is talking about severe sinners in the body of Christ. Amen? This is for severe offense. Liars. You know, lying is severe to God. Slandering, that's severe sin to the Almighty. Amen? Theft, railers, adulterers, usurpers, heretics, manipulators within the body. These are all to be taken through these three steps. We are to confront them alone. We are to confront them with witnesses. And if they don't receive us still, we are to confront them with church leadership. Amen? Hallelujah. It's the responsibility of church leadership to show the offending party from the Scripture where they're wrong and that they must repent if they want to continue to enjoy fellowship with the body. And if after those three steps they refuse to repent, then we take the next step right here in verse 17b. If you look at it with me, the second part of that verse 17b, hallelujah, Jesus said, if he neglects to hear the church or church leadership, once you get church leadership involved, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Why did God tell me to teach this tonight? I don't know. But I know that he did. Jesus said, if after taking steps one, two, and somebody's going to need this. Somebody's in need of it right now. If they don't receive you, let them be unto you as a heathen and a publican. You know what a publican was in Jesus' day? It was a tax collector. And everybody despised them, and shunned them. They ran from them. Jesus saying if they don't receive correction from you, witnesses and church leadership, shun them. Shun them. Stay away from them. To heap burning coals upon their head. Let them be to you as a publican, and let them be unto you as a heathen. How do we treat the heathen? We pray for them. We shun publicans and we pray for heathens. Amen? And that's what Jesus is saying. If after going through all this process, they still won't receive you, out of love for them, put disfellowship them. One word is excommunicate. They use that in the Catholic Church. Amen? But it's a scriptural principle. No more fellowship, and pray godly soul to work repentance in them, and then just leave them be. And let them know if they try to come, particularly with sexual sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, put them right, disfellowship them, put them right out of your midst. If you know someone's living in sexual sin, you are not to fellowship with them for their own sake, so that they'll sit down and examine themselves and ask themselves, why is everybody always picking on me? Well, it's because I'm living in sin, I'm living in adultery, I'm living in fornication, I'm living in homosexuality, I'm a liar, I'm a slanderer. No wonder nobody wants to fellowship with me. Hopefully it'll bring him to repentance. And finally, Paul said, when all of these principles are applied against the sinful, if they do judge themselves and they do want to come back into the body, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, yes, Lord, believe God with me right now in your spirit. Agapare te singin pero, mano gepege de siki pero, poroto siki peredeste. Some need to repent for selfishness, saith the Spirit of God. Some need to repent for selfishness. For selfishness has kept you. Selfishness has kept you from putting others first and correcting them when it was necessary. Amano ke pendeke sikipero de saga barato samberedeste. Whether it's here in this room or listening by recording, the Spirit of God is speaking into my spirit that there are those who need to repent in this area for selfishness, for pride, in for fear. Yea, Lord, eke seki perando. Selfishness, putting yourself first and not the needs of the brethren first. Oh, minikesta teke peradiste. Pride, sangin peradiste. Simply just saying, I'm just not going to do that. And fear. Fear that would say, but what if? What if I correct them? What if I were to correct them and they didn't receive it? What if I were to correct them and they were to retaliate? What if? That's the voice of reason, says the Spirit of God. And I do not live in the reason realm. Does not my word say, God is a spirit? I live in the realm of the Spirit. I live in the realm of the Spirit, not in the realm of reason. And to obey me is to obey my word. And does not my word say to reprove, rebuke, correct, and instruct in righteousness whenever necessary? Sikipeto, sikipiramande. This is very, very different for me tonight, even as it is for you. But it's the Spirit of God nonetheless. Hamenneke, sike peradoshu, kopare de siki, perando sikimbre, ege peradeshto. So rebuke and reprove. Correct and instruct. For my word says that my word is profitable. For reproof, rebuke, correction, and instruction in righteousness. E sikimano sipete ke perando sikiperadesto agamparoto. Father, I see what you're doing here tonight. Amen ke peradaso ke perodoste hambarodoso ke peragisha teke, and it's going in. It's going in. It's sinking in. It's sinking in deep, and it's going to bring change. And it's going to serve to bring maturity into your body. For those who hear my voice, at least in this room, Father, yea, they are willing. Yea, yea, yea. And you've become willing here in this place tonight. Hearing my word, go forth. You've seen where you've been wrong, and you're willing to repent, and you're willing to make amends, and you're willing to step forth, and you're willing to step out by faith. Yes, and as you do, I will honor it, says the Spirit of God. I will honor it. Now, hallelujah. I'm just trying to teach to you tonight and speak to you out of my spirit. Amen. When the offending party, when God uses you to correct someone, and the offending party finally does come to repentance, we are to forgive them and to restore them to fellowship. You should look at this with me in 2 Corinthians 2. We'll close with this. You're going to want to get this CD. You're going to want to get this CD and go back and listen to the words that came out of my spirit by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hakesiki peradeso, kumbarose, kimbaradase, teki peranashite. Ege perando su kuparute semenekisitiki pre. Oh, we've grieved the Spirit of God. We've grieved the Spirit of God by our unwillingness to bring a word of correction when necessary in the name of avoiding strife. But it perpetuates further strife. It perpetuates further strife. It perpetuates further strife when we say, I won't do that. I won't do that. I won't do that. It's not love. Love will correct. And when the word of correction brings repentance in the life of the sinner, we are to restore them immediately, as soon as they repent. Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:7. He said, so that contrarywise, you ought rather to forgive him. He's talking about a man who was involved in sexual sin. They took these steps that I shared with you tonight. They shunned him, pushed him away, and disfellowshipped him. They excommunicated him. It caused him to realize the severity of the sin he was living in. He repented, and now the Corinthians weren't letting him back in, even after he had repented. And Paul said, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him now, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Paul said, when somebody finally repents after taking these hard but necessary steps, concerning them, when they finally do repent and they want to come back and they want to enter back into fellowship, Paul said if you refuse to allow them back in, you could ultimately destroy their very lives. They could be consumed with so much sorrow. What he's saying here is they could ultimately take their life. We don't want to do that. When people finally repent, as Jesus instructed us to require them to do, we are to bring them back. Why don't we stand up? Mago siki peradosiki paramano kusetiki peradeshitike pre. Sagabaranda sangin beredishte. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the soil is hotter and rockier in spots, but you keep on pushing and the plow goes through. This just is just bubbling up out of my spirit tonight. People have been left to live in the chronic babyhood Christianity because of an unwillingness to correct them. So I'm not doing that. That's none of my business. I'm not my brother's keeper. The Bible says it is your business and you are your brother's keeper. Hallelujah. That's why the body of Christ looks like a sick family to the people in the world. Because we don't police ourselves properly. Father, help us tonight after what we've heard now. In the name of... Well, Lord, you said it went in. That's what you said in my spirit. Sako pite kim pitoke. Egaman said to keep, but they should take it. It did go into them, Father.
It did go into them, Father. It did go into them. Father, strengthen them now. Engrace them when the times come for reproof, rebuke, correction, and instruction in righteousness, Father. As they open their mouths, I ask that you would fill it. Fill their mouths, Father, with the Word of God. Give them just what needs to be said at the right time, Father, to correct that one, to correct this one, Father. And to no longer just sit back and let things go when the Holy Spirit is calling us to say, don't let that go by, they'll be judged for that. Don't let them do that to you, they'll be judged for that. Don't sit back and watch as they do that to other people now, they'll be judged for that. And I'll hold you accountable. Mano sigi perende. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18, and I'm going to dismiss you. But we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Something keeps coming out of my spirit. I can't say, Father, I put a lid on it. We got to go. Amen. God said to me in Ezekiel chapter 3:18, a verse of scripture I never heard or saw before in my life. In Ezekiel 3:18, in my Albuquerque, New Mexico motel room. When I woke up from that dream where he showed me those people falling into the fire pit. And he said, when I give you a word of correction to bring to somebody and you refuse to bring it to them, their blood will be on your hand. Father, let that be as clear and as much of a living word to those within the sound of my voice as it was to me 27 years ago, Father. It literally changed the course of my life, Father. The direction of my life. Let that be real, Father, to them now. In Jesus' name, Father, that when you tell us to correct someone and we refuse to do so, when we refuse to tell them, if you don't judge yourself for that, you're going to be judged. Their blood will be on our hands, Father. Now, that's a hard and that's a heavy word, but there's something you can do about it. Amen? Say, Father, I will obey you. Love will reprove. Love will rebuke. Love will correct, and love will instruct in righteousness. I will walk in love, Father. I will walk in love. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now that's a word for somebody tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. More than one person. The rest of us got to get in on it. Sege peradaso, ke peradosuku, parodume nekesete, ke peradosu, te kebre, hasamano. Just lift your hands if you would before we dismiss here tonight. Hallelujah. I think we're going to close here tonight with a worship song, not a praise song tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sege peramasa tege, baradusha, kobarusa tege, peramesa tege. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just sing My Greatest Love again. And then I'm going to close with prayer tonight. Amen. In Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah. 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 Subaru da seki peredeste. Semena gaso roko seki peredeste. Aso gi perama no kesete. Sabarudese ki peredesete. Sabaruto sagaber mesete.